الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة فتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهله، فصل وسلم على سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كما أنت أهله، وافعل بنا كما أنت أهله، فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة.
The topic that I'm going to discuss, the Waqi'ah of Karbala, it could have been discussed in a manner that is normally discussed, and then there would have been nothing difficult. It could have been mentioned, this is mentioned, this happened. It would have been easy for me, it would have been easy for you to understand. However, the method that I am going to discuss this matter of Karbala is perhaps a method which you have never heard about before. And perhaps it might not be easy to grasp, to understand. And if you get lost slightly, perhaps you will drown in the blood of Karbala. This is such a matter that when ulama heard about it, when certain ulama wrote, then good ulama stood up and said that you are talking rubbish. But when that alim, whose sources I have relied upon to a great deal, and some of the things are from my own side, when he sent them the references, then everyone was quiet. So normally what we all know of Karbala, and from young we were hearing it, and every year when Muharram comes, we will hear the same thing, that we must all remember that Karbala got nothing to do with Ashura, but, and then the Karbala bayan will start. Ashura is Ashura, and it's unique in Islam. It was there before Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu passed away, and it remained after he passed away. And never ever in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, in the time of Tabi'een, in the time of Tabi Tabi'in, was Karbala ever discussed on the 10th of Muharram. But however, a condition has come today that even those who say that it got nothing to do with the 10th of Muharram, the next sentence will be but, and the Karbala will start like how it started today. But my intention is to explain Karbala in a manner which will make us understand why every year it is repeated again. Why is Karbala every year brought back into the picture? Who is bringing it back? And who has made Karbala so important in our lives? The first great tragedy that happened in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu was martyred, and the grief that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed upon him, everyone knows. But never ever will we hear that the death of Hamza radiallahu anhu, every year when it happened, no one knows. Because it was never ever spoken about. What a man he was. And there Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with his own body, physically, he showed the grief. That he said, if I had the chance, I would have taken revenge for Hamza radiallahu anhu. I would have taken that revenge, but then it came to a close. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was then martyred. The wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the whole Medina Munawwara shook. The weather changed. Umar radiallahu anhu was the barrier of Islam, which was mentioned that, oh Umar, when this door will go, meaning when you will be martyred, then fitan and evil will start and it will never close. But Umar radiallahu anhu passed away, and you'll never hear in the year that today was the day Umar was martyred. And let's have a bayan about it, how he was martyred. Usman radiallahu anhu was the khalifa, and he was martyred. For a normal man to be martyred, it's a very sad thing, but for a khalifa to be martyred, and martyred in such a manner that he had the armies who were ready to come to his aid. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu wrote, I will send my armies, they will wipe out the entire evil force. Usman radiallahu anhu said, because of me, I will never let two Muslims spill blood amongst each other. He allowed them to come in and have him killed, and he said, I am ready, but I'll never take out the sword against you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in his dream, as Usman radiallahu anhu said, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling me that, Usman, we are going to make iftari together. He was keeping roza. He passed away with his face on the Quran. Blood fell on that spot which was written, and Allah will suffice you. And everyone cried about it. War took place after that because of it. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anhu, a war had to occur to try and take revenge for Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu. But after that it came to an end, and nobody even knows the day he passed away because it's not celebrated. Ali radiallahu anhu was then martyred. He was a great man, he was martyred. He was from the Ahle Bayt. He's supposed to have been, even the Shia is supposed to say, the day Ali was martyred, everyone talk about it. But no one talked about it. Thereafter, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu was from the Ahle Bayt, the son of Ali radiallahu anhu. He was poisoned. He was martyred. But everything was closed, quiet. But when Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu had to be martyred, it was not the Khalifa going to be martyred. When he was martyred, everyone cried. If there was going to be a celebration, perhaps the next year Sahaba radiallahu anhu would have celebrated. If there was going to be revenge to be taken, the next year Sahaba would have taken revenge, but nothing happened. Quiet. And thereafter, maybe you will say they were evil leaders, that's why. But after a couple of good evil leaders went by, Umar bin Abdul Aziz became Khalifa. And everyone knows Umar bin Abdul Aziz, no one can say anything about him. He became Khalifa, but in his entire rule, there was not a day when he said, Karbala, we have to celebrate. Where are the people who killed Hazrat Hussein? Bring them to me, I will slaughter them. Everything was quiet, nothing, no revenge. And carried on, carried on, carried on, carried on. 80 years after the death of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, Karbala is celebrated. And it becomes such a unique thing in the Ummah that till today, every year on 10th of Muharram, the world knows it's Karbala Day. So why does the world know this? Karbala, for us, what we understand, what happened in Karbala, the Shia got their own version, which is a filthy version. Our normal version is an edited version of the filthy version. Meaning we just remove the filth, but the version stays the same. What is that version that we all learned when we were small? We all know that Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu passed away. He was a good man. He was a Sahabi. The Shia say he was a terrible man, but we will never say that. So he appointed his son Yazid. And normally no one will even say Rahimullah for Yazid. How can you say Rahimullah? You rather say La'natullah alayhi, may Allah's curse be upon him. And everyone will say that. But why we will say that, no one knows. It's on the tongue, but. So he appointed. When the time he appointed Yazid, we will all say that at that time Yazid was a good man. Otherwise Muawiyah radiallahu anhu as a Sahabi, he would never have appointed a fasik, a fajir, a zani, an evil man. But then we will all say that when Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu passed away, Yazid changed. Suddenly he changed. Now he became a drinker, alcohol. Now he was making zina as a khalifa. Now he was doing all evil. So Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, when he heard about this, he said, this can never be allowed. I will stand up against him. And it sounds very good. Makes a lot of sense. He was standing up. Thereafter he proceeds, he carries on. And when he comes now to Karbala, the army of Yazid is sent Ubaidullah bin Ziyad. Everything what doesn't make sense along the story is normally not going to be mentioned because it doesn't make sense. But this is our version of how we understand Karbala. And then he comes to the plains of Karbala. And then the army, they make the most brutal oppression against this pure soul. And one version is they stop water reaching him for 3 days. There's no water. But then another version comes out, there was lot water there. The day they passed away, they took ghusl. So that first version is forgotten. That no, actually there was water, but the day he passed away, they stopped the water. And thereafter, how they martyred him. And then there is one version that everyone in his group, 145 altogether, they were to fight. 144 died. Amongst them were the children who went in front. And then the old people went in front, the young people went in front. And then finally he was alone left. And now he was trying to go to get some water and they stopped him. But then one question comes, but he was such a brave warrior, how would he ever send his children to go and die? And when everyone is dead, then he'll say, hey, it's only me left. So suddenly that whole story is pushed one side, say, no, actually, while the others were dying also, then he was also being killed at that time. Then there is the story that then they attacked the tents where his wives were. And there's one that they pulled out their clothing. And there's another story, no, they respected them. Because which one will make sense? Then there is a story that they were taken to Yazid and he disgraced them. But then another story comes that, no, he actually honored them. And he gave them a lot of wealth. Now it comes funny. Why must he give them wealth and gold and silver? And he called other women to come and tell them that we are very sorry what happened. And then he had them escorted back to Medina Munawwara. And the amazing thing is when those people who were in the army, now it was only the woman left, when they narrated what happened in Karbala, they never mentioned all these things. But that's our version of Karbala and what happened after that. We will say it was the greatest oppression done to anyone on earth. Because of it, every year we will mention Karbala. And if you're in Pakistan and you go through the shops, you will see every shop will have sarbat water to give you. You ask him, why sarbat water? He said, because Hussein radiallahu anhu on that day was thirsty. So he took the thirst of the whole mankind. Today no one must be thirsty. Like the Christians say, he died for our sins. Now we can do what we want. So on that day, every shop will be giving sarbat because he died on that day. But no one will feed the day Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu passed away. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu passed away. Usman radiallahu anhu passed away. Ali radiallahu anhu passed away. And how many others passed away? Nobody even knows when they passed away. However, there's a couple of big problems in our version also, which we never ever talk about because it doesn't make sense. So first I will mention those couple of big problems to show that our version needs to go underground also. The first major problem with our version of the story is that we say that while he was under Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he was a good man. That's why Muawiyah radiallahu anhu made him Khalifa. That after me, you Khalifa. And when Muawiyah radiallahu anhu passed away, he changed. But the problem comes when you read that when Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was alive, he already told people to take the bayt on the hands of Yazid. And everyone in the Muslim Ummah accepted, except 5 or 3. From those 3, it was Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, son Abdul Rahman, and Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu. But when they refused when Hazrat Muawiyah was alive. And then Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, everyone accepted. Now who was everyone else? Everyone else was all the other Sahaba. So if someone asks you that how come the other Sahaba accepted? They at least were in Medina Munawwara, those Sahaba that were in Sham, Syria, around Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. How could they accept? So the Shia will say very easy, they were all kafir. But we will have a problem, we won't know what to say. Because if he was drinking and he was zani, making zina, then they would be the first to know. So we will have to say that they were just quiet, maybe they were scared of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu goes for Hajj. to find out from Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, why are you not ready to accept the bayat? That when I die, my son must be the Khalifa. So Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu does not mention at all, and the other three or five do not mention at all, that your son is a fasik. The answer all five of them gave was that we don't want a system in Islam to start where a father appoints his son. Where a father appointing is no problem, because Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu appointed Umar radiallahu anhu. But they said, we don't want a system where a father appoints his son. However, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu explained to them that must remember that it is not me appointing my son. It is the Sahaba of Sham. Amongst them famous was Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu, a great Sahabi, who had come up to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu and said, you're getting old. And I had seen already the Muslims fighting so much, and I don't want it to happen after you pass away. So appoint your son, because I find him the best from all. Now who said that? Mughira bin Shu'bah. So the Shia will say, Mughira bin Shu'bah, the worst of the kuffar. But we will say, how can they say that? The great Sahabi Mughira bin Shu'bah. In the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, hardly will a governor remain in his post. To remain a governor under Umar radiallahu anhu was very hard. Mughira bin Shu'bah was that man who remained. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu himself will say, Mughira bin Shu'bah, amazing. And one time when some people put an accusation on Mughira bin Shu'bah, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu got shocked. That all my trust is in you and the people are accusing you of this, and a big court case took place. And then Mughira bin Shu'bah was found that he is innocent. Umar radiallahu anhu said, Allahu Akbar, meaning I told you people, I know this man. And when the people of Iraq couldn't be controlled, Umar radiallahu anhu said, the only man for the job is Mughira bin Shu'bah. This Mughira bin Shu'bah comes and says, Yazid is the best for the job of Khilafat. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu makes a dua. He says, oh Allah, if I am going to choose my son Yazid as Khalifa after me, because of my love for him, let it never happen. And if I am going to choose him as a Khalifa after me because I find him best for the Muslim Ummah, oh Allah, let it happen. So the Shia will say that Muawiyah was just as bad. But we will say Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was the scribe of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wrote wahi. And he received a dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, oh Allah, let Muawiyah be guided in everything. What a dua that was. And the dua of Nubuwwat, we can understand, is going to be accepted. Allahumma ja'alhu hadiyam mahdiya. Let him be a guide for others. Let him also walk on the guided path. Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu made no mistake in choosing his son Yazid. And Yazid never became a fasik after that, because of which Hazrat Hussein said, I'll never accept. Hazrat Hussein already before that, while Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was alive, said, I can't accept. Because you are appointing your son. No one appointed the son before. You're going to start a system of father, son, father, son. There was no masala of fisk. There was no masala of fujur. There was one big problem, or a couple of big problems I mentioned. One I mentioned, why nobody else refused? What happened to all the other Sahaba radiallahu anhu? They were all quiet. We can never believe they would be quiet when they would see evil being taken place. They were all quiet. And the main thing which Allah tabarak ta'ala always makes happen, which I will explain now, that our sources in Islam is Quran and Sunnah. Quran, there is no question about is Quran authentic or not. Quran is authentic. When we come to Sunnah, we will look at a hadith, but then we will discuss is the hadith authentic or not. We won't just accept any hadith. After that day, we will go to the views of Sahaba, Tabi'in. But we will take those views which are authentic, and those views which are not authentic, obviously we say we don't know whether he said it. Thereafter, we will come to what is called history, and we will come to what is called Israeli narrations. History and Israeli narrations, we will read it. What makes sense, we will accept. What doesn't make sense, we will throw it. Because we don't know who said it. You can open up the best history book written in Islamic history and you say, this is an authentic history book. Any alim will tell you, my friend, there is no such thing called an authentic history book. There is something called an authentic book of hadith. You don't get an authentic history book. Because history is, I heard from someone this happened. Did he see it? No, he never see it, but he heard from someone. Who is someone? Nobody knows. That is history. Karbala majority is based on history. Because of which every sentence you will find 10 conflicting statements. One thing, however, came out from Karbala which was very authentic. And Allah Tabarak Ta'ala makes it that the truth will always one day shine. One of the few authentic things that happened in Karbala, which was a stab in the back of the Shia, which I will mention at the ending, I will mention at the beginning, which won't make sense now, will make sense later on. When Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu reached Karbala, and he understood that this entire Karbala is one big lie. So a person was appointed to arrest him. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu spoke to him. And Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu said to him, that there are three options. One of three I give you, three options. You choose whichever one you want, and the whole matter is solved. He said, option number one, I came here, I realized it's all a lie, a farce. Let me go back to Medina Munawwara, like how the Sahaba told me, don't come, let me just go back. And finished. We will never bring up this topic again, and Yazid will rule. He said, number two, if you want, then you don't want to send me to Medina Munawwara, you scared the people will join me, we'll fight, I'll go in the wilderness. And I will never mix with anyone again, so there'll never be an issue of me standing up. No problem. But the third option, he said, which can never be understood, because Yazid was a fasik, fajir, zani, evil, traitor, oppressor. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu said, and if you want, I am prepared to go to Yazid and place my hands in his hands and take the bayat. That is one of the authentic statements that came out of Karbala. Do you ever think Hussein radiallahu anhu will say that if that man was the fasik, fajir, zani, evil, oppressor, then why did he come to fight against him? Now you'll say, no, he became a sassi. Na'udhu billah, he never became a sassi. So that one sentence is kept in the back of the history books. Don't ever look at that sentence. It makes no sense. But that's one of the few authentic statements narrated with such a chain that even the Shias, if they look at the chain, it's all their main people in the chain. So they will never ever narrate that. Because how could he dare say he'll go and take bayt at Yazid's hands? Yazid was the worst kafir. So there are too many problems with our version. Now I will go through a new version of Karbala. New version means a version we have never heard. But a version which makes a lot of sense, especially according to what we see in the world around us today. Politics. If anyone's going to sleep now is the time to wake up. And this is something to understand because I will give you an insight in modern day politics and what this whole issue is about Karbala. The qissa will start with Hazrat Ali radiallahu anh. Hazrat Usman radiallahu anh passes away. Ali radiallahu anh comes. Everyone takes the bayt on his hands. Muawiyah radiallahu anh is the one person. He's not ready to take the bayt. He says, I won't mind taking the bayt to you, but let's sort out the story of Usman radiallahu anh. Ali radiallahu anh explains that you don't know the situation yet at the moment. It's not an easy situation because, and there's a lot of detail, we won't go into that story. Whatever happens, happens later on. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu have their fight. Ali radiallahu anhu's main supporters are the people of Iraq. Iraq and Iran, always. And Iraq and Iran was that one country when Umar radiallahu anhu was going to take over it. Ka'b Ahbar told Umar radiallahu anhu, you know, that country, it's my feeling that you just leave that country. Because evil comes from that country, magic comes from that country, fitna comes from that country, and Islam showed it. But Islam had to take over all countries, so Iraq was taken over. Iraq in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, in the books of hadith you will read, whenever someone complained of their governor, it was the people of Iraq. Until Umar radiallahu anhu got fed up with them and he said, I don't know which governor I'm going to send to them. Everyone they got a problem with. Then he said, Mughira bin Shu'bah, you go sort them out. So from that time they hated Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu. Usman radiallahu anhu became Khalifa, the people of Iraq started complaining, this governor is bad, that governor. And every time Usman radiallahu anhu would send an investigator to go to Iraq to see what is the governor doing, he would come back and say the people are all happy. So Usman radiallahu anhu said, then who's complaining? But the complaints were coming one way. And then Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu, in this whole thing, because of the people of Iraq, he was also martyred. The people of Iraq, who are the people of Iraq, what we call nowadays? The Shia. And what in my view is the Pakka Jew. The people of Iraq and Iran were Persians, fire worshippers, devil worshippers, shaitan worshippers, dajjal worshippers. And from that time already, their effort was to break the whole Islam. So in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu complaining, nothing happened. Usman radiallahu anhu, they were the responsible party for killing Usman radiallahu anhu. And they made a major war take place. And they told Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, come over to Kufa, we will help you. Against Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, when they're thinking they are genuine. Within the first year, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu started cursing the people of Iraq. That you are the biggest liars, you are the biggest traitors. One sentence of his was, I'd rather sell every 10 of you from one soldier of Muawiyah. His soldiers are truthful, you are betrayers. And finally, Ali radiallahu anhu cursed the people of Iraq. They betrayed him completely. Finally, Ali radiallahu anhu lost the war to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And he gave up. He said the war will come to an end. As soon as he said the war will come to an end, his own main people, they became known as the Khawarij, which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the first fitna to raise its head. They said, this man is a kafir. But yesterday they were saying, this man is God. Meaning they were not worshipping him. They were just worshipping a view to break the Muslims. As soon as Ali radiallahu anhu showed that I'm not prepared to break the Muslims, you kafir. And the Khawarij came into existence. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu passed away. Khalifa became his son, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu. As soon as Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu became Khalifa, the people of Iraq jumped again. That we are with you, our support is with you, we're going to fight with you. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu remained a Khalifa for a while, and then he goes to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Everyone thinks a war is going to take place. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu comes right to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, and he writes a letter, I have not come to fight. Rather, I have come to give you the Khilafat. Everyone is shocked. Sahaba radiallahu anhu are very, very happy. And they say that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointed at Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu and said, the son of mine, grandson, is a sayyid, a leader. Because of him, the Muslims will unite and two major wars will come to an end. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu are very happy. The Muslim ummah is very happy. One group is not happy. Who is that? The people of Iraq. So angry, they attacked the tent of Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu. They injure him. He has to be protected. They start taunting him. They start calling him names. They start calling him, you coward. Whereas the hadith said he did the right thing, but they said you did the wrong thing. Finally, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu pulls away from the people of Iraq with that same curse. And he says, you all are the biggest liars. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu, thereafter he is poisoned and he is killed. It is famous. Who killed him? Yazid killed him. Who said Yazid killed him? No one knows. Except the woman who killed him himself. The woman who killed Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu, she said, Yazid told me to do it. But could she be believed?